May 2, 2023, it's the What for Pedro Show. for Pedro show. Happy Tuesday. We're starting with John Coltrane with Cannonball Adderley doing Grand Central. And then Husker Du live at the Entry, September 5, 1981, MTC. Yes. And because of those software engineers of Estonia with their Skype invention, I got with me Brother Greg Norton. Welcome aboard, Greg.
Brother Mike Watt.
Absolutely.
How the hell are you, bud?
Absolutely.
So happy to be on the Watt from Pedro show.
I remember us back in 1981 talking about land speed record.
Yeah.
Wow. Big. Yeah. Got to tell people in those days, before internet, getting on the fucking leash. Well, they ain't no leashes yet. They're landlines. But 5, 6, 7, 8 hour calls.
Yep.
Right? All of us. That's what you used to do in those days. But let's learn about your journey through music. Please bring your earliest musical recollection.
Earliest musical recollections, probably getting my first bass when I was 13 for my birthday. An old Hagstrom, looked like 3/4 scale. Super fun bass to play, and just starting to noodle around on it, you know, kind of self-taught type thing.
Well, I'm curious what led to it. So the pad you grew up in, was there musical instruments?
No, it was just, I lived with my mom. All my siblings are older. They were out of the house. My dad and mom had split up. There was always music in the house. You know, my dad was really into Tony Bennett and Stan Kenton, big band swing music. And,
sure.
And, you know, my sister was all about the Beatles in the 60s, and my brother was Led Zeppelin, and, you know, and then I discovered Blue Oyster Cult all on my own. And,
what
right?
was that? Can I ask you the first record you bought with your own money?
Alice Cooper, Billion Dollar Babies.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And the first gig you went and saw?
The first gig was a multi-band extravaganza at the old St. Paul Civic Center. It was Canned Heat. There was Jay Giles. Oh, man, there were like 7 bands on that bill. Those can't remember all of them, but went to a lot of concerts.
Yeah, that was 70s for us. That's why there was the movement, people, because arena rock, we had to do something in reaction against that. We had to learn right about on. Clubs. We didn't know about us people in the 70s. We only knew arena rock. We didn't know clubs. So, and that's part, I think, a big, when I look back, big reason for the movement. Can I ask you about school? Were you in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that?
I did choir up through eighth grade. And then turned into a juvenile delinquent.
Okay. Now, what led to you getting that fucking Hagstrom?
I loved bass players. I loved, listening to McCartney play, listening to Chris Squire from Yes play. The dude from Wishbone Ash. Blue Oyster Cult and
Joe Bouchard, Blue Oyster Cult, Dennis Dunaway, Alice Cooper.
Yep.
So, you know, I ask you this because, especially in the old days, a lot of bass cats were failed guitar dudes who wanted to, you know, because no one wanted to rock it, so they wanted gigs. But you're pure. Your first thing is the bass.
That's right. Yep. It's, I didn't even try to play a guitar until much later, you know.
Now, what'd you do?
I still try to play the guitar, but I'd rather play the bass.
Yeah, okay. You fool around on the guitar, you play the bass, yeah.
Right on, yeah.
Yeah, I'm way into that. Now, was it like I'm going to try to learn songs off records. Did you go to a teacher? What was your education process on the bass?
Yeah, mostly learning off of records. I did do some lessons with like a local cat in my neighborhood that, you know, he was okay. I don't think he really knew how to teach. But, you know, I mean, he taught me a few things.
How to learn some songs off the records, right?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Not like after school graduating, but in the afternoon, did you get into the basement band, garage band, bedroom band?
Not really until after, you know, kind of after I got out of high school and discovered punk, you know?
Okay. So who's the first group of dudes? So before that, it's Man Alone and just learning up on it.
Yep.
Okay, so the first time you get, was Greg, Grant and Bob the first cats?
Grant and Bob were the first cats.
Wow!
And actually, Husker was also Bob's first band. Bob had never been in a band before either. So, you know, Grant was the seasoned veteran, had been playing in cover bands in high school for a long time. And when we met him, he was playing keyboards in a Beatles cover band called Train, and it was like actually I've got one of their gig posters. We went to a bowling alley to see them one time. So
wow! Now you guys met at a record store or something?
Yep. Grant and I both worked at a record store called Melody Lane in Signal Hills in West St. Paul. I had gotten hired first, and then he said, "Hey, you took my job," and I'm like, "What? I'll get you a job." So that's how we met, and that's 1978, and all the punk records were coming out, and we just discovered it and just had this voracious appetite for it, and we listened to everything that came through the store. So.
And what, like Bob stumbles in?
Yeah, so then later that, at the end of the summer, Bob comes stumbling by a different record store over by McAllister College, and Grant's playing the Ramones on a PA speaker blasted on the streets. And Bob's like, got a brand new leather jacket and some Chuck Taylor All-Stars and a Johnny Ramone haircut. And he's like, "Hey, I like the Ramones." And then Grant and Bob hit it off. And, you know, a couple of months after that, the three of us all got together and went to see the Ramones open up for Foreigner at the St. Paul Civic Center.
Damn, full loop.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
You're looping it. Now, what was the first, so you guys hadn't jammed together yet. You just go to a gig. What was the first Husker Prac like?
Well, you know, the story of Husker Du was actually the cat that was running Cheapo Records, the manager, a guy named Charlie Pine. Grant that's my dog, Sir Jackson Husker Doodle, going crazy over here. Jackson, quiet, buddy. We were out at a little, like, corner dive bar, and he saw that they had music, and he told the bartender, "I've got a band." And the bartender said, "Great, you've got a gig." And so he comes back to the table and says, "Grant, we need to put a band together because I just got us a gig." And Grant's like, "Well, hey, I know this guy at McAllister. He's got a Flying V guitar." And so, like, the next day, Grant and I pick Bob up, bring him over to my place where Grant's drums were set up, and we jammed a bunch of Ramones tunes. And then Husker ends up playing this dive bar, three sets of cover tunes for two nights, got paid actual real money.
Got paid on your first gig.
Yeah, well, as a cover band.
Yeah, and then, yeah, I understand.
So then we decided to keep going on without the keyboard player.
Oh, there was
three of us started working on original music. And so then our next gig, we got paid a case of beer.
You mean there was a four-piece version of Husker Du?
For three shows.
And you were called Husker Du?
We were called Husker Du, yeah.
And you were doing covers with a keyboard cat. Wow, I didn't know this. I did not know this. Now, you said the drums were already set up at your pad. Were you and Grant already doing pracs?
We would jam together, yeah. So we, so as the bass drum duo, Grant had dubbed us as the Electrocutes.
Yes, Electrocutes, into it. Look, I want to play another from that. Now, September 5, 1981, is that the Land Speed record? Because I know you guys, it's like, you play the entry twice, right? And one of them becomes an album, but one was just a gig. But same order, same set list, everything?
Well, you know, so Land Speed record was in August of 81. That was,
okay, so this is after. Okay. I'm going to play Don't Have a Life.
Oh, there you go. That's some of my free jazz influence there. On bass.
We'll be right back.
distraction under his spell. Lady Justice, lazy lady luck, extend a hand if you're ever such luxury. Difficulties come money. Ça doit être ça. Ça doit être ça. La fin du lavage de cerveau organisé. On a monté tous les étages, toutes les marches, et la fête a fini par s'achever. La journée s'est passée. Tout le monde s'est cassé. Je réalise, ça doit être ça. Ça doit être ça, la fin du lavage de cerveau organisé. La fête a fini. Thank you.
Uncle Joe, Uncle Joe, did you ever go to meeting? Uncle Joe, Uncle Joe, ever go to meeting? Uncle Joe, I don't mind the weather, so wind don't blow. Would you rather be a hooker or the hook, Uncle Joe? Would you rather be a hooker or the hook, Uncle Joe? I never mind the winter, so the wind never blow.
photos. How will I ever know? You know, college or hot tub. The scene then came towards sunlight to a dream. But I always go back to the one I choose, to the one I'm with. But it's fun to prove.
Watch for Pedro show that chunk of music started off with. This becomes Savage Young Dude later on, people. It's not the Landspeed record. It's 2 weeks later. This is I guess the rule was if you wrote the words, you had to sing it, right? So this is one of your babies. Don't have a life.
That's right.
Yeah. Yep. Pelican Man after that. This is part two of Planet Chernobyl. Me and Petra's take on Charlie Plymouth's libretto. Good friend of Grand Hart, by the way, Charlie Plymouth. The Chunks after that. Bass player wants you to know he's from Scotland. This is called Reading in the Shower. Yeah, a little difficult. The Drift Institute after that with Lavage de Crevaux. The Bobby Lees with Lunchbox. Diane Marie Clobo with Needs Are Met. Maxime Funke with Room in a City. The Holy Modal Rounders. Yeah, Peter Stanfield just sent me this. This is him, Mr. Weber, 1965 Detroit, Uncle Joe. Francesco Fusaro / Froze with Omaggio, A-E-M. The Dolly Rots, brand new. Hey, girl. Old California with the Destroy All Nas Klein alumni, Woody Appendon. Shorten your list. And finally, third song from this gig, Let's Go Die. I think it was the closer before the encore. Live at the Entry, September 5, 1981, Husker Du. Whoa. And then, you know, I remember getting this cassette from Greg Ginn and him playing, me and D-Boo playing it and saying, wow, this is like Blue Oyster Cult real fast. And we end up putting it, because they don't have the resources. They say, you want to put it out? And we said, fuck yeah. And we, the big talks on the telephone. And, yeah, Landspeed Record. First album for New Alliance Records. And we got to play with you.
It came over. The start of a beautiful relationship.
Absolutely. I don't think there would be a Double Nickels without the On the Dime without Zen Arcade. You guys were incredible inspiration to us.
That's right. Yeah, because Double Nickels was, what, going to be a single record? And,
that's right.
And also, didn't we save the world from seeing a naked D. Boone on the cover?
That's correct, because it was going to be called No Mysteries.
Yeah.
It was going to be a naked Watt, too. Naked Georgie, probably okay, but the other two guys, I don't know. I don't know whose concept that was. Thanks for remembering about that. I remember that. It was going to be called No Mysteries and Us Naked. Fuck. Well, anyway, you guys come to town and you do Zen Arcade. I remember Spotsky does that big scream and Standing by the Sea.
Oh, yeah. That's epic moment in the song right there.
Right. And then an epic moment in your visit. D. Boone throws a big chow for you guys at Cabrillo Beach. I remember.
Oh, yeah.
Big barbecue.
That's where he introduced me to cilantro.
That's right.
I'm like, what is that? He's like, it's Mexican lettuce.
Right. I think England calls it coriander or something.
Oh, yeah, coriander.
Because you end up a chef and stuff, so you learn about all kinds of ingredients and stuff. But that was your first, yeah, like me coming from Virginia, the only Latin guys I knew was Philippine and Puerto Rican. So, yeah, learning stuff, learning chow. That's incredible. But, man, that experience, that's we have to write a buttload of songs so we can have a double album, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, love it. People, you don't understand. That's community. You know, yeah, take that, Huskers. It's on the inside. When you open up Double Nickels on the Dime, it says that. And it wasn't Blige. It was like, man, we couldn't have done this without you.
Yep. No, that was a beautiful thing that we inspired Double Nickels.
Man, and that boat, that van you guys had, a lot of miles, over 300,000, right?
Yep. I think the body wore out before the engine did.
Before the drivetrain.
It's probably going to be my life story there too, you know.
And you were mainly the wheel man.
Yeah, that's best seat in the van.
Yeah, and also kind of scary with Bob driving.
More so scary with Grant driving. Bob would be good for a couple hours, and then he'd get kind of catatonic.
Right. I remember you telling me once we were talking about Torspiel, and yeah, how about you kind of had to be the wheel man.
Yep, and that was fine by me. I still love driving. So,
Brother Ted said the same thing in Flip. He said best seat in the house because they were using that ice cream truck where you couldn't see shit. There was no windows. So,
yep.
Yeah, best seat in the house. And man, you guys, you know, being in the middle of the country, yeah, hell rides for the west side, hell rides to the east side. So you learned how to do that early.
Yep.
Big inspiration to us. What was your strategy?
The strategy for planning tours was basically trying to go out for, you know, 3-4 weeks at a time. But yeah. Since we were centrally located, we'd concentrate on, you know, we'd do the West Coast, which usually would either, you know, start in the Northwest or we would go down and start in Texas. You know, and then do the East Coast, and then we did a couple of just central states, you know, all the way down to Texas and back up. And, you know, it worked out really good. I just dug out a Minuteman Campaign Trail 84 t-shirt that I have, thinking how like, you know, you guys were visionaries with the political landscape there. And looking at the tour on the back of the shirt going, holy shit, that is a lot of dates. And you guys, you know, basically you did the entire loop.
Yeah. You know? Well, we learned from Flag. I mean, they would do 100 gig tours, 4-month tours.
Yep.
Oh, man. So here's a trippy thing about Husker Thorn. You guys would always do the next album that you just recorded that nobody had heard.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that's because we were recording with Spot at Total Access. So
right.
we were, you know, playing the music that we were about to record. And people were like, none of these songs are on the record that I just bought. And we're like, well, wait for the next one. And then when you see us the next time, you won't hear any of these songs.
And, yeah. and you're looking back, what is your favorite Husker album?
You know, it's picking a favorite album is like picking a favorite kid because albums are definitely, you know, they're a snapshot of a moment in time.
Yes.
Diary
entry.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and actually right after Spot passed away, I listened to Zen Arcade from, you know, side one all the way through the end of Reoccurring Dreams, and
yeah.
That record is that is a special record, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah. I like Flip Your Wig a lot.
Oh, for sure. Flip was Flip is a record that could have been it's one of those things. Warner Brothers wanted, really, really, really wanted Flip Your Wig, and we decided to, you know, just keep that one with SST, and then do the next record. So, of course, then we give Warner Brothers Candy Apple Gray, and they're like, "What? What is this?" You know, a little bit different than Flip Your Wig, but Flip has got great songs on it. New Day Rising is, I mean, all those.
That's a good one, too. I mean,
yeah.
Like you said, they're like kids. And,
yep.
And liking one more than another is kind of unfair because they all got special things. Yeah, I totally agree with you. And it's a life of a band. The arc.
Exactly.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, May 2nd, 2023 edition. Watt for Pedro Show special guest, Greg Norton. Hold tight, fire, toot! May 2nd, 2023. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. for Pedro show. Second hour start off with Ultra Bomb. We'll get to that, people. We do have a little bit of Husker news, but then we'll move into post-Husker Greg Norton. I Can Make It. Ultra Bomb. Reynolds after that. Bunch of stuff from Carbon Records. And not the Carbon Records at Elliot Sharp. God, the best musician, initials for a musician, right? E Sharp, right? Just F.
Oh, there you go.
Just F, yeah. Most Econo. Yeah, Reynolds, Minoria Acoplamemo. Bear at the Dump from Well Veeder. Nod with Unicorn Funeral. Beast View Mowl with Iron Wheels. Basho Aji with Whites of the Eyes, Caught by Flash, Pengo with Bumper Stickers, and then Ultra Bomb again with Star. So, this important new, I didn't know this, but for Record Store Day, which was last week, new Husker. Tell them, Greg.
Yeah, new Husker, and actually we put this record out on our own Reflex record label. We brought the label back for this, so it's our newest recording, so it's the first gig we played at the Longhorn Bar, and then you fast forward in 1979, then you skip ahead a year to July of 80, and that's the second side. Yeah. And then a couple months after that, September of 1980, our last gig at the Longhorn. And it's called Husker Du Tonight Longhorn. And their Grant made an awesome flyer back in the day because somebody said that they thought we just sounded like a power drill. So it's got a nice little Rockwell power drill on it. It just says Husker Du Tonight Longhorn.
And I believe he did that under the name Fake Name Graphics.
Yep, that was Grant. Fake Name Graphics.
That's
so
right.
The record turned out great. It's a double album. Record Store Day has got a 90-day exclusive on it. But even more exciting is that we decided to do a T-shirt of the album artwork, and our buddy Raul at Calamucho is printing those shirts for us. So they're available at Rockabilia. But, Husker Du Longhorn Tonight. Tonight Longhorn. It's a great record.
Reflex Records have a website?
Not officially yet. But, okay. Right now it's only available at record stores. So.
Because there was a Minuteman live 7-inch that Bob Mole put out.
Oh, right,
days,
yeah, exactly, yeah.
Dutch East Indies, I think, was distributing it, yeah.
Right, and you guys did
It's all
Ain't Talking About Love.
That's right. And a Meat Puppet Lost on the Freeway again.
Yeah.
And maybe the Red and the Black, Blue Oyster Cult.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And I think Green River is Creedence. So, okay, post Husker, what do you do music?
So after Husker Du, I kind of had a band called Gray Area that for a brief moment that did a lot of shows with
Firehose. Right.
And then I get into the restaurant gig, and I literally disappear out of music and don't even touch a bass for 14 years.
That's right. I got to tell you about Gray Area. Georgie tripped on your drummer. He said, "What is he afraid to hit cymbals?"
Oh, right. That's right.
Georgie loved those.
Played without cymbals.
Right. Georgie loved those little tiny things. And then, yeah, this guy had like.
Yep.
Anyway, so for 14 years, you don't touch a bass.
Yep. I'm working long hours in the kitchen, cooking, learning how to cook, and learning how to be a chef, and running restaurants and stuff like that. And then I run into this cat, Dave King, who has a jazz piano trio called Bad Plus. And
right.
They had just put a record out on Sony. They did a cover of Smells Like Teen Spirit, which the story behind that is Ethan, their piano player, had never heard of Nirvana, had never heard the song before, and Reed, the bass player, and Dave couldn't believe it. So they made him learn how to play it, and they put it on that record. But there was an interview that they did, and he said that Husker Du was a big influence on him. And I'm like, wow, that's cool. Husker was an influence on these jazz guys, you know?
Yeah.
So I went to meet him after a show, and he's like, "Hey, I got this idea for a band, and I think you'd be the perfect bass player for it." And 3 years later, after him threatening with me with being in a band, Gang Font got together. And so since I was like, oh, well, shit, I think I might be in an avant rock jazz group. I went out and bought a bass and bought an amp and started playing again. So,
wow.
Yeah. So Gangplank released recorded a record that came out on Thirsty Year in like 2006.
Yeah.
With Craig Tabor on keyboards and dude named Eric Frotsky playing guitar. And Frotsky and Dave King had another trio called Happy Apple. And then we did a couple of shows in New York. We played the Knitting Factory. And then Craig Taborn, he's out on the road all the time and gets too busy. We have this local cat, Brian Nichols, on keyboards, and we record a second record in 2010, which we've never put out, which we are actually, I think, going to put out hopefully before the end of this year. And, my time away from music, I also got into wine. So I like to say that this is our Grand Reserva. We've been cellaring it until it's ready to be released on the world. And so that it's time for that record to come out. But then,
right. And then in between,
only playing about once a year. This guy I knew from lacrosse called up and said he had a band. Well, he had a band I liked, Porcupine, and
right.
Their bass player had stepped back from the gig, and so Casey asked me to fill in. So I did Porcupine for a few years, and that was fun. You know, it was we went out on the road with we played dates with Flipper, with Mudhoney, with Built to Spill,
John and Terry
with,
show,
the Flesh Eaters, which that was a great tour, hanging with John Doe and all the cats. And then that didn't quite work out, so Casey decided to change the direction of the band. Ian, the drummer, and myself kind of departed. But right at this point, this is the pivotal moment now that gets us to the present.
Okay.
But before we do,
I got to play some music here. I want to play some, because we're going to talk about Ultra Bomb, right?
Sounds good, yeah.
Okay. We'll be right back.
conoscerti, riconosco il tuo odore, sogno di possederti, anello il tuo sapore, innamorata del tuo controllo, innamorata del tuo controllo, conquistata dal tuo racconto. Possederti mi rende libera, liberarmi mi rende schiava, innamorata, innamorata.
Thank you. Next song is called Burning Man.
Open wide, they'll hunt you down in the night. You're five for nine. see the forest and the trees. There's nobody left to believe. You're locked in a room with no windows or keys. They'll put you in debt or raise all the fees. Your words are the bomb for the rest of your days. There's nobody left to believe. Thank you so much.
Jesus. Have y'all ever been to the Milestone in the summer? It's like that up here times like 10. Whew. We got another new song for y'all. It's called Keepers. Let's do it.
What for Pedro show, that chunk of music. Start off with Altar Bomb, Superhero Shit, then Dame Area, in a Morata del Tuo Controllo, Solis with Burning Man, Nobody Left to Believe from Sinners and Saints, Petrov with Keepers, Ray Shin, Sun Blasted and Broken Masted. Finally, Altar Bomb, Faded Away. Tell us the story of Altar Bomb, Brother Greg.
So Altar Bomb is, you know, it started as a, Finney McConnell, the guitar player for the Mahones, sent me a message and said, hey, I've got this idea. Why don't we put together a band? I know the greatest punk drummer on the planet, Jamie Oliver. We're best buds. And at the same time, he had messaged Jamie going like, hey, let's put together a band. I know the greatest punk rock bass player on the planet, Greg Norton. And so he kind of did those at the same time. And, of course, both of us were like, yeah, that sounds brilliant. Let's do it. So we came together basically through Facebook Messenger, right? You know, in a way, I feel like I answered a classified ad.
Because they're across the ocean.
Yeah, well, Jamie's in London, Finney's in Toronto.
Finney's closer. Okay, but still,
yeah,
not in the
so,
not
so
really
international
close.
Trio. Yeah. So the original concept was like, well, let's just together, you know, we'll play some Husker tunes, we'll play some Mahones tunes, maybe throw in a few UK sub songs, and we'll just, you know, have fun, maybe play a few festivals, get paid, and have some laughs. And so about a month later, Finney's in Germany on a solo tour, and he's got he's like, oh man, I've been writing tons of riffs for the new band. I've got some time in a studio. Jamie happened in Berlin, and Jamie happens to be in Berlin at the same time. And all of a sudden, I'm like, shit, I should go to Berlin. I should, like, be there with these cats when they're in the studio. So I book a ticket, and I fly to Berlin, and Jamie picks me up at the airport. And first time that either of us had actually met in person. And the next morning, we're in the studio, and Finney shows up, and it's the first time that I'd actually ever met Finney either, you know, besides, you know, Facebook Messenger, group video chats and stuff like that. So here's the three of us in the room. Here's Altar Bomb. And so Finney's like, oh, I got all these great riffs. And so we play a riff, and Jamie and I'd be like, yeah, okay, I think you got something there. And we'd like work it into an arrangement. It's like, yeah, that's good. And we'd run through it to a point where we were, you know, a couple of times and everybody was happy with it. We'd tell Hansi, the engineer, to record it. We wrote four songs the first day. We wrote six songs the second day.
Whoa.
And Hansi was like, you mean to tell me you just wrote all those songs right here in front of me? And we're like, yeah, we've actually never been in the same room before. This is the first time we've ever been together. And he's like, I can't believe that's what you guys did. So Jamie goes out to play a gig Saturday. Finney and I are in the studio just doing some, you know, cleaning up some guitar bass bits. And I pull out all my lyrics. And I was like, hey, I've been writing, you know, all these lyrics for the last couple of years, you know, and Finney looks at it, he reads my lyrics, and he goes, I've got the whole record figured out. He like lays it out. And so then on Sunday, Jamie's back, the four of us are all in the studio, and Finney goes in and sings the whole record. Yeah, I mean, we did some edits on the fly just to make some stuff flow, but he sang it. And I was just blown away how my lyrics, written, you know, independently of his riffs,
yeah,
just came together so perfectly.
Who came up with the name Altar Bomb?
That was a friend of Jamie's that suggested Altar Bomb. And when Jamie was like, oh yeah, so my mate wants to, you know, thinks Altar Bomb is a really great name of the band, I had this photo of my daughter Coco with that another friend of mine as a joke put, you know, an atomic bomb exploding behind her, and she's wearing these sunglasses, got a lollipop in her mouth, and I'm like, I sent these guys that photo, and they're like, holy shit, that's the album cover right there. So it was that was Altar Bomb.
Okay, like, I get it. So a lot of this stuff, it was just a collection of fucking coincidences, but also people trying their hardest to be creative together.
Yeah, and it came together so easily, you know, it, in the studio, it literally felt like we had been playing together for years.
Now, did you guys was it only recording that little adventure in Berlin, or did you do a live gig? When was the first Altar Bomb gig?
We played our only show that was last July at the Hook and Ladder Theater in Minneapolis for their Deep Blues and Rock Summer Festival, and we headlined the show. That was supposed to be, we were supposed to do a tour, but I got diagnosed with prostate cancer So right after the Hook and Ladder show, about a week, you know, less than a week after that, I went in and had my prostate out.
Jeez. Got the hook.
Yep. The great news is that they got everything and my margins are clean and I'm got a clean bill of health and I feel great. My only regret is that, you know, the prostate wasn't like a little thing that they put in a jar and gave me because I was going to donate it to the punk rock museum. But, excuse me, but, you know, it turned out good. So we have one gig under our belt that everybody like lost their mind over. And now we've got this tour that starts May 11th in St. Paul, Minnesota at the...
I want to talk more about that, but we're at the end of the second hour. May 2, 2023 edition, Wat Pedro Show, special guest Greg Norton, hold tight for hour 3. Little show bit. May 2, 2023, it's the third hour of the Wat Pedro Show.
Yeah. secret as it is a fact.
for Pedro show start off the third hour with Ultra Bomb doing Like the Wind. Then Phil Venable, Bass Work number 2, North Carolina. St. Abdullah and Jason Nasri with Emil Weibel doing My TV Was Colorless. Bombas Prendon after that with Engine number 9. Eugene Chadbourne, also North Carolina. Zerk Dobro Breakdown. Finally, Ultra Bomb, Feels. So you're telling me like the song like Feels and Like the Wind, these were your out of your lyric notebook.
Yep. So I wrote all the lyrics for the record. And like I said, I'm blown away by how well Finney made them fit the music. It's like it was meant to be, right? It's one of those things when you hear it. Yeah, I love the song Feels. That's my geriatric, Billie Eilish take there. So,
okay. And now, at the end of the second hour, you're saying something about Ultra Bomb tour. It's going to happen now.
Yep, it's going to happen. And it's finally got legs. So that's what we dubbed the tour. It's got legs. Here it comes. Get ready, world. So we're going to be out on the road with the Barstool Preachers from England. And those guys are flipping awesome, putting on an amazing show. Their record actually just debuted at number 13 in the UK charts. It's crazy that people in the UK listen to good music and charts like that. But, yeah, we're going to start May 11th, Thursday night, at the Turf Club in St. Paul. We're doing our first start. We're only going to start, play 3 shows and get a day off. So we'll go Minneapolis, the Midwest Music Fest in Winona, and then Reggie's in Chicago. And on that day off, we're going to shoot a couple videos. So I'm excited about that with our good buddy Jim Sikora. Did Rock and Roll Punk for Carducci.
That's right. Chicago guy, right?
Yeah. And then we've got, then the Hell Ride starts. So, we go Melody Inn at Indianapolis, go to St. Louis, the Old Rock House, go to Hightone in Memphis, go to the, Parish at the House of Blues in New Orleans. We go to the Secret Group in Houston, Kick Butt Coffee in Austin, I can't think of the name of the club in San Antonio. And then back up to, 3 Links,
Dallas.
What's that?
Dallas, Deep Ellum Park, Dallas, 3 Links. I like that pad a lot.
Yep. Yeah, looking forward to that. And the Austin show, Ian McDougall's from Riverboat Gamblers, his band Broken Gold is going to be on that bill too. So excited about that. Drive the next day to get to Tucson, play 191 Tool in Tucson, up to the Yucca Tap Room in Tempe, go to Corazon del Barrio in San Diego, and then Alex's Bar in
Corazon del Barrio,
right next door to Pedro there, and Saturday, May 27th. So hoping that everybody can make it to Alex's. And then we got 2 shows in Punk Rock Bowling in Vegas, one Sunday night with the Dickies, and then we're on the main stage on Monday, the last day. 1 day off, 1 last show then in Denver at HQ, and then head home. So, boom.
That's a hell ride home.
Ooh. Yep.
Now, what bass are you using?
So I've got a G&L Kiloton that I like a lot.
Okay.
Yep.
And what are you using for amp?
I'm hoping that I'm going to be playing through a Blackstar.
Ah.
If it shows up in time. If it doesn't show up in time, I'll have my old Ampeg head and bottom, but. I'm hoping that it'll be through a Blackstar.
Now, what about the vehicle? Are you going to be the wheel man?
I'm sure we'll all take turns. Finney'll drive a lot. Jamie doesn't drive, so lucky for him. You know, being from London and all, it's like,
right.
Why do I need to know how to drive?
Yeah. So it's the wrong side of the road anyway.
Right. And then we got a young cat, Russ Emmett, who's going to be on the road with us, helping with merch and gear and shit. He'll do some driving too.
You know, the guy I met in the old days that was doing that with you was a bass man, Robin.
Yeah. Exactly.
Ended up
from,
with the Tar Bass.
Madison.
Yeah.
Yep.
Bucky Pope. Bucky's going to come to Pedro in the summer and do another Tone Scientist recording with me.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
Small world, right?
I've seen those guys within the last few years. I've been in touch, so that's awesome.
That's great. Look, did you write the words to Stickman versus Hangman?
I did.
Okay. This is quite a spiel. I dig it. Let's play.
Yeah.
Let's play.
That's actually going to be one of the videos that we shoot.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, it's kind of a narrative.
Yep.
Okay, here we go. What for Pedro show. That chunk of music, well, it's the final music for this edition. And the chunk started with Ultra Bomb doing Stickman versus Hangman. Yeah. A little drama there, people. I got into it. I got into it. There's a lesson to be learned. Ratchet Orchestra out of Quebec. After that, with Two Silences, and then finally, Ultra Bomb. Time to burn. Time to burn. Okay. These words that all the Ultra Bomb songs came out of, were they written at one time, or were they this over a period?
The majority of them were written over the last probably two or three years. Some of them were kind of fully realized, like, in the moment. Like, Stickman, in particular, was a spiel that, as you know, as I started to put it down, it just kept flowing. And it just, you know, kept going. Whereas some of the other songs were, you know, like, I'd come up with a part, I'd like it. And then, you know, a couple of weeks later, I'd come up with another thing. And then I'd be like, hey, I think those work together. And then, you know, kind of hobble them together like that. But, over the last couple of years.
You know, when you recorded in Berlin, the album, did you bring your bass?
I did not bring my bass, but...
what'd you play over there in Berlin?
A 1963 Gibson SG.
Whoa.
It was a awesome bass. I'll send you a picture of it.
I had a 63 EB3.
Yeah, actually, yeah, EB3, that's it. Yeah,
because the guitars were called SG then. Yeah. I think it meant second generation because Les Paul didn't want his name on. He's going through some divorce. He told me this whole spiel once when I saw him at a sound check just to get a bass signed, and he spieled with me for like 2 hours. The other two guys in his band was like, you motherfucker.
Funny. What an awesome experience that.
He put his buttermilk donut on his wavy bar, and he just, I mean, he's telling me about putting in the echo chambers in the Capitol record studio, all of this, playing with Bing Crosby's trio, all this stuff. And I just, because it was a Les Paul signature bass, so I thought, well, why not have him sign it? It turned into this whole spiel. Wow. But anyway, there's something about this, that the way you just meet these guys, and the first time you start playing with them, you get a whole album out of this. Now, you must have brought your lyrics, your notebook, with you.
I had them all with me. And so there, you know, out of the 10 songs that we recorded, there were probably at least another 10 or 12 songs in there that didn't get recorded. Plus now I've been writing more lyrics. And so on this tour, Finney's been working on new riffs. We're going to start hammering out a new record. We're going to start playing
round two,
writing songs on the road. We'll try them out during sound check, and if we feel that they're happening, we'll slip them in the set, you know?
Well, yeah. Well, you got to, like, play a whole set of songs no one's heard before.
Exactly, right?
That's a tradition, right? So where do you think you're going to record it? Berlin again?
We've thought about going back to the same studio in Berlin.
Blow Hansi's mind?
Yeah, for a second time, yeah.
Again.
Yeah, it's great. It's Hansi said to me, he goes, yeah, you know, Finney booked the time for the band, and then he said that you're a punk band, but you're much better than that. Like, wow, okay.
Can I
cool, Hansi, thanks, bud.
Yeah, absolutely. Like that backhand compliment. Look, thanks for that. Look, I'm going to put the invite out. When you guys get this second record done, will you come back on the show and we can play it and talk about it?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
Great.
I'd be happy to come and spiel with you anytime, Watt.
Absolutely. And I can't wait to see you at Alex's in Strong Beach. 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. Safe seas to you till then. Keep that keel in the water.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Love you, Brother Greg. Truly.
Love you, too, Bones.
May 2nd, 2023, Dish Watt Pedro Show. Keep your power.